You're listening to the Food and Farming podcast from AHDB, farming news and stories from across the UK.
Hi, I'm Emma Steele, Midlands Knowledge Exchange Manager for AHDB Beef and Lamb. Today I'm catching up with Shropshire AHDB Beef and Lamb Strategic Farmer Neil Brown and Matt Blythe from BLAS. Neil has recently been working to better utilise EID during his time as an AHDB strategic farmer, and Matt has been helping him to do that. So today we'll be chatting about how Neil got started, but more specifically about the 8-week weight data he's been able to collect on his lambs and how he can now use that to influence his management decisions. But don't worry about it. If you haven't collected your 8-week weight, please don't switch this off now, because we'll have a chat with Matt at the end about what you should be thinking about if you don't have 8-week weights. So Neil, let's give us a bit of background to you and Newhouse Farm then. Tell me about where you are and what you've got on farm.
We're in Ludlow, Shropshire. We're lambing about 800 sheep. That's 650 ewes and 150 ewe lambs, comprising of Suffolk Cross mules and North Country mules. The Suffolks are home bred out of the mules, and mules are bought as Skimmer lambs and tupped as hogs. We also have 30 suckler cows, a mix of continental breeds, with a Charolais bull. We're dead weight with all the cattle and live weight with the lambs, and we finish everything.
You finish everything. So why did you want to be an AHDB strategic farmer, Neil?
We applied to be a strategic farm just because we wanted to improve our grassland management, and we wanted to get into recording data through the sheep and cattle performance figures. So we wanted to use EID to its full potential. So we just wanted some help and advice with that, really.
And how far through that process are you now?
Grassland management is improving slowly. We are attempting the rotational grazing. The first couple of years was hard going. First year we had a big drought, so that just didn't exist. But this year we've got plenty of grass ahead of us. We rested a lot over the winter, so we've had a good head start for the spring, and mobbing those sheep up and splitting fields up. So we are giving it a good go now.
Brilliant. And I was with you on Friday and there's fences everywhere, so it's great to see.
That's it. With the EID, we are giving that a good go now, hopefully. I've been on and off that for a few years, but not really seeing or using any of the data that we've been collecting. So we've been weighing and looking at data, but just not using it. So that's why I feel like we need to do something with it.
Yeah. So when you say on and off, what do you mean by that?
So we've done a bit of body condition scoring. So I've done that through the stick reader, and I recorded that, but that's as far as it's gone. It's never even gone to the computer and looked at. So I've gone through all the work and the hassle of doing it, but never ever done nothing with it.
So where do you want to kind of get to with that then? What's your aim?
So it'll just be management purposes through the year, really. So we can look at how the flock's performing, help with the weaning, and just general performance indicators.
So Matt, did you want to introduce yourself and a bit of your background?
Yeah, I'm Matthew Blythe from leaving college. I've worked my way through the sheep industry from assistant shepherd up to a farm manager. And now I run my own company advising people, especially around data collection in the sheep and beef industry. So Neil kindly invited me to help him and give him some advice on his equipment he was using and how he could get more out of it, bringing everything together so we can make some informed decisions on farm and help his productivity get better.
Great. So what on that then, Matt? Neil, what equipment are you using?
So we're using the XR5000 indicator and the XRS2 stick reader.
Yeah.
We're sort of weighing with a combi clamp and the wrapper raceway. And we're using the AgriWeb software to upload all our data.
And how often generally are you uploading onto AgriWeb? Is it after every time you've collected
some information? It should be after every session, really, in the evening, but it might build up to sort of once a week or maybe a fortnight.
Yeah. And then what do you do with it once it's on AgriWeb?
We are sort of getting a lot more data on there now, so we hopefully will be able to look and study that. but it's good for my medicine records as well.
Yeah.
So uploading all the body condition scores, and we've tagged all the lambs from birth this year. So we're weighing the lambs all at 8 weeks this time, and they're going straight into AgriWeb.
How did you find tagging the lambs at birth?
Better than expected. Tagging them wasn't a problem. That was fine. We have had several that have ripped tags out that we've re-tagged. It's still an ongoing issue, but I might have to maybe next year think about tagging them in a different place of the ear. But other than that, it's been a lot easier tagging young lambs than older lambs.
When you say several, do you mean just one or two you expect to lose, or is it a percentage that's higher than you'd usually expect, or what, do you know what that is?
Well, at the moment, I sort of say if I bring a bunch of 250 lambs in, I'm sort of re-tagging three lambs-ish out of every bunch every time I bring them in.
But broadly, you're happy with it then as your first year of doing it?
Yes.
Brilliant. So, Matt, Neil's kind of said he's getting there with AgriWeb, but he's not there yet. Once he is there, what can he expect to be able to do with it?
Yeah, I've got to say, Neil's doing a cracking job, you know, really is. He's come on from, you know, like he says, just weighing a few animals, doing a few body condition scores now, to collecting core data that we can actually try and help him and develop things with. So he's using AgriWeb. There is other softwares out there, but we're talking about AgriWeb because Neil's using it. It's on the strategic farm. AgriWeb can do everything you want to keep yourself compliant. We can add weights in there, and we can forecast weights moving forward, so we can forecast where they want to be. We can set targets, and we can monitor all the performance we need to, from grassland to livestock performance. Yeah, it's just learning how to use the apps and bits to get the most out of it, and it's a stepping stone approach. So we started off with getting Neil to collect the data so we can get some nice clean data, and we don't expect it to be 100% accurate, but we hope to get it over 90% accurate, and that's well and truly above that at the moment. So, you know, what we're doing, we can trust the information we're getting, then we can upload it in AgriWeb. And one of the big things with AgriWeb, because it is cloud-based, so it's on an internet browser, we can share that data. So you AHDB can see it, I can see it, or whoever Neil would like access to see it can see it. So we can then help him and support him by giving advice on real-time data we can see.
And you said, Matt, it's a stepping stone process. How long do you think is kind of a reasonable expectation to go from having never used it and being a complete EID newbie to doing some of those things that you've just spoken about?
Depends on the people, but whatever happens, we need 3 years worth of data to get bugs out of the system. Because like Neil said in the start of this podcast, he went through a drought with his grassland management. So that upset things, which it would have upset some of the data on the animals as well. So we need to start it steadily, get some of the bugs out of the system. So until we are really 100% confident in collecting the data, no, like Neil was on about his first time he's tagged lambs, and he wasn't sure about doing it when I first talked to him. And there he's, I wouldn't say he's a convert, but he's definitely happy about
on
it.
On the way.
he's on the way. And like you say, he's lost a few tags, but talking to him when I was last there, we've discovered that he didn't read the instructions in the box of how to tag the lambs, like nobody does. But, you know, so just altering how he tags them and changing things. And as he gets more confidence, we'll get more information. And I think it's a 3-year process to get somebody up and running properly.
And with all the people that you work with then, Matt, what are kind of the common problems you come across and the top things you help people with?
Common problems is people are buying equipment on grants and don't understand what the equipment's capable of. So we see EID stick readers not compatible with apps or with software or whatever. People don't know how to set them up. A lot of this equipment just gets dropped on farm, and they don't know that they can make custom lists, don't know how to calibrate a set of weigh scales properly to start with. You know, we get taught how to calibrate a worming gun or a vaccination gun, but nobody thinks about calibrating the weigh scale. So checking that the load cells are weighing at each end accurately, through to, you know, just making things easy. People think EID or recording causes them extra work. It does to a certain degree, but if it's all set up properly, it doesn't add that much time to your day, and that data is so well worth it at the end of it.
So you just mentioned calibration there. How often should people be calibrating the equipment?
Calibrating weigh scales should be done at the start and the end of the session.
Right.
You know, it should be done to make sure that we're accurate when we start, you know, weigh each end of each load cell, make sure there's, you know, if we look at Prattley or Border Software weigh crates, or a lot of weigh crates have got isolation frames. If they're bent, you know, which can easily happen, they've got a bend, and the, as the load cells are pushed down, it catches on the sides of the crate. It will give resistance to the weight. So it will make it out from half a kilo to 3 kilos, which can make a big difference, especially when we're looking at 8-week weights or weaning weights, you know, and also sales. You know, we it will make you inaccurate when you're trying to sell lambs. So just spending 2 or 3 minutes with either weighing yourself, or if you're a bit anal like me, having pre-calibrated weights to make sure that I know what they are. And even my pre-calibrated weights when I bought them were inaccurate according to all the scales I could get hold of. So, you know, you've got to make sure things are what they should be and weighing how they should be, and once it's all up and running, it will work fine.
And do you need to spend a fortune on all that handling equipment to do that, or can your bog standard kind of spring weight be suitable?
I started when I was on the farm with the spring balance weigh scales. You can start with that, and you know, if you can stand the needle bouncing up and down and writing the numbers down or scanning the tag and tapping it into a stick reader, that works for small flocks, no problem at all. But it's quite easy to convert those spring balance, or take those spring balance off and convert them over to having a cell in that same location, which that cell then can convert to a digital weigh head, which can be £300 up to £4,000. And then weigh heads can go on with you through all the other equipment you've got. Yeah. So like Neil was saying, he's got a combi clamp and a wrapper race. He moves the weigh head and the stick reader between the two.
Great. And you mentioned grants as well, and being careful that all the equipment that you get talks to each other. What can you do to make sure that's the case?
Talk to farmers, talk to people who've got equipment, talk to people like myself, AHDB, you guys get on farms, you lot see equipment, see what other people are using, why they're using it, what fits your situation. Just spend the time doing some research. It can take me 2 hours to sit down with somebody and work through how, what data they want to capture, what how they're going to use it, and then what equipment they want. That's, I won't say the end, but that's kind of where we move from to, not just starting with the equipment, a bit like Neil did. He started with equipment, then we kind of then tried to work out what worked. And luckily, he got the right equipment.
Yeah, okay. So it's about then knowing what you want to achieve before you go out and start shopping, and then talking to lots of people as well to make sure you're getting the right stuff and not just what the first person you speak to tells you you need.
Yeah, very much so.
No, great. Thanks for that, Matt. So, Neil, you've recently been collecting your 8-week weights and you've run them through the system. What have you got? What were the results?
So far, we've just weighed the lambs on creep because the other lambs aren't just 8 weeks yet. We've averaged 24 kilos with the one bunch and the other bunch on 27 kilos, which is an average of 0.34 grams a day. So we're well above target on those.
What was your target?
25 kilos, 8 weeks.
You're going for 25, right, okay. So that's really good then, that's flying.
Yeah.
How do you feel about it?
Yeah, no, pleased with that. The lambs looked like they were going backwards a little bit. They haven't been taking the creep quite as much yet, but we've had more grass in front of us this year. But we've been doing vet counts and we've just got in there early enough, I think, without seeing too many clinical signs. But the worm count had jumped rapidly over a course of a week. So we went straight in there and give them a yellow drench, which I think's put them back on track again.
And how are you doing those vet counts?
So we're doing them ourselves through VetPack. So just doing the whole test process at home and then just send it through on the cloud, and then we get the results back generally within an hour.
Great. Matt, what's your kind of thoughts on those numbers?
The biggest thing for me picking up on that is they're eating less creep. That's got to be one of the big things. Saying we know that we've been working on body condition scores, monitoring those. We know that there's good grass in front of them through rotational grazing. So we're using less creep and we're getting better results. So everything is positive, but this all started back with us, you know, pre-lambing, starting to get the ewes in good condition and started everything working through, monitoring faecal egg counts, pre-lambing. It's all an ongoing process. It hasn't just happened in them 6-8 weeks post-lambing. It's been happening in the background for months before.
Yeah. And I think, Matt, people often talk more about weaning weights. What's the importance of an 8-week weight?
Everybody talks about weaning weights. It's an easy target for people to do because we're weaning lambs and people actually think weighing lambs at 6 to 8 weeks. You know, we adjust a lot of these weights. You don't have to go back in and weigh your animals if you got them in a few weeks earlier to do nematodiaries or do something like that, you know, vaccinate or whatever. We can readjust the weight. So it's getting a weight around that 8-week point. So either just before or just after, and we can readjust it, you know, in the mean birth weight or its real birth date. We can readjust the thing back.
So you can be flexible with it.
We can mold it. I wouldn't say mold it to make it work, but we know every sheep farmer's busy or every cattle farmer's busy. So we don't want to make it an extra job. We just make it fit round. Doing that, you know, we know through all the work that's been done through the KPI project, which was AHDB funded, Neris Wright got a PhD out of it and Leslie Stubbings was involved in it. We know that 8-week weights are one of the most critical weight on lambs. Yeah, it is the driver. It's something that not many farms do, but we know it's a huge driver. Identifying lambs that are not performing and doing something with them at that stage, because we know they're the lambs that are still there at Christmas, January, February. And I know farmers say they get more money for them, but there's a cost involved with them as well. But also setting up your targets for weaning, because we know that if lambs are at 20 kilos at 8 weeks, that's kind of seems to be the industry standard we've came up with now, is 20 kilos at 8 weeks. If they reach that, they're more likely, well, they will easily reach 30 kilos at 12 weeks. And we know most farms are not weaning around 12 weeks. Through the work done through the KPI project, we know that people are more like 14 or 16. But we also know through research done in the Northern Hemisphere and the Southern Hemisphere that the ewe's milking ability is massively dropping off at 8 weeks. So she's reached her peak lactation. That's dropping off. So we're now starting to key up the setup for weaning because we know where the lambs are. We know what we want to achieve. We also, if we're body condition score, and we know how much body condition score they've lost. We know between lambing and 8 weeks is the biggest drop in body condition score. And then we've got an idea of how much body condition score we need to get back on the ewes pre-topping. Also at this point, which I didn't know until I started involved with this KPI project, is this is a big time in the ewes internal system of her starting to develop follicles and bits and pieces. And this is where eggs are developed, ready to be shed, things are happening. So if we've lowered the body condition score too much, this can have an impact on the following mating year. This is something I didn't understand until we're involved with this project. Even if we get these sheep back, you know, if we get the body condition score too low at this time of year, we can naturally get them back, but that is already incurred onto the following year's number of lambs. So it's a very critical time to monitor how many lambs we got, when are we going to be potentially selling them, have they met the targets, deal with light lambs, but also looking at the crop for next year with the ewes condition.
So what kind of condition scores would you be looking at early weaning then, Matt?
I wouldn't say it's early weaning at 12 weeks. You know, if we've got ewes now dropping below 2.5 body condition score, you know, below 2.5 is an uphill battle getting those ewes back into condition. And also something that I've really come to know is that a thinner ewe eats more grass. It is absolutely amazing how much more feed you need to get into them sheep to get them back into condition. So all that's got to be budgeted in to get the sheep back massively. So, you know, if we would hope that the flock is 2.5 plus, you know, then we might consider holding the ewe with the lamb a little bit longer, maybe up to 14 weeks. But all the work I've done and all the work I do with clients, we are seeing no advantage in holding that ewe on that lamb past that 12-week point.
Right, okay. And what else, is there anything else you'd need to take into account then, other than body condition score, when you're looking at making that decision?
Making that decision about weaning, you know, how much grass you got in front of them. That's one big thing, you know, what is the drivers, you know, how much grass do we need to get these ewes back into condition? How much grass do we need to get the lambs to finish, to keep monitoring on? You know, they're the two big decisions we need to make. Also, we need to be thinking when weaning, we also need to make sure that their parasite management is up together, because we don't want to wean these animals with a big parasite burden and that knocks them back and upsets their development. But I've had more success weaning lambs around that, you know, that 12-week old period. The lambs settle down quicker. They're not looking for their mums as much. They just seem to get on with life and keep growing. And when I was managing the farm, you know, for 6 years, I think we did it, we never saw a drop in growth rate at weaning at 12 weeks. It was always the lambs that we weaned later that had the drop in performance.
And you mentioned there about keeping on top of your parasites. How often do you think at this time of year? I mean, we're recording this at the end of May, but it'll go out in the middle of June. How often at this time of year do you think you need to be doing fet counts?
Depends who you're talking to. You know, salesmen will tell you we should be doing them as regular as possible. Yeah, reality is it's knowing what risk you're under, what risk you've got. You know, if you've wormed the animals, the biggest thing is make sure that product's worked, that, you know, whatever drug we gave them, you know, we were talking before we started recording this, we're on about there was a yellow worm I used. First question that you asked was, you know, when did you do it? And are we going to do a reduction test to make sure that product works? You know, that's critical, making sure the products are actually doing what we think they should be doing. And so we know it's worked. Then, you know, every 3 weeks, you know, if that product's working as good, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, we should be checking to see where the counts are. But if we go through a dry period, you know, we know that the eggs don't develop as well on the pasture, so we might just tailor that back. So it is a bit of a, I won't say suck it and see, but you need to know what the weather's doing, what this is doing, that's doing, you know, how much grass you've got in front of them. There's so many things, but if you took a rule of thumb, your product's working, you know, killing at over 95%, you know, every 3 weeks should be absolutely fine just to do a fecal egg count. And you don't need to do the whole farm. You just need to do a few fields to work out what's happening.
Yeah. Oh, no, that's great. Thank you, Matt. So just coming back then to lambs and like the practicalities of weighing lambs, and we've mentioned ewe body condition and stuff as well. Neil, when you've been running your lambs through the race to collect these 8 week weights, have you been doing anything else at the same time, or have you got them in purely to do this weight?
Well, we weighed them to start with. We combined that with heptavacking and the first wormer. The 8 week weights we had in, which combined well, really, because we did a fet count on the lambs and they were sky high. So we had to get them into drench. So I combined that in with weighing them, 8 week weight. So that worked very well. Other than that, we were going to bring them in to put them through a foot bath because we got scalding the lambs a bit. So I would, always try and work it in with another job.
How did that go with the foot bath? Would you do that again?
Foot bath in, I did try to weigh before they went through the bath, but I was stopping the flow of sheep going up the race with the weighing, which wasn't working very well with the sheep going through the bath. It was a nightmare. So we abandoned the weighing at that stage and just got the sheep to flow through the foot bath, and that worked better. So yeah, it's trying to pick and choose your jobs a bit. And that was weighing with a combi clamp. So I weigh with that at the moment just because I can run the ewes through and they go through okay, and then I can grip the lambs and weigh and drench. But once we get the ewes shorn and possibly weaned and whatever, we'll weigh in the raceway with our wrapper mobile system, but we just can't fit the ewes through there with the wool on. So that doesn't work. So it's trying to pick and choose your equipment to the jobs and the times to do it.
And from a kind of data point of view then, or a tag point of view, you're obviously, you're running them through, you're weighing them, you're vaccinating them, worming them, whatever it is you're doing. Is there anything else you're collecting?
So yeah, we have got some tags that we've had to replace. So we're recording that, recording the treatments onto AgriWeb. So that's really done in the medicine books. Yeah. And then the FET counts. I should say I haven't body condition scored and weighed the ewes at 8 weeks.
Is there an intention to do that in the future, or what are your kind of thoughts around the ewes?
I was going to hold off really and do that when I wean them.
Right. What's your thoughts on that, Matt?
Yeah, weaning's absolutely fine. I won't say it's absolutely fine, but you know, it's. I would be trying to do that body condition score next time you bring them in. It gives us an idea of where you are and what we need to achieve. You know, so we can start planning ahead for you. You know, if we are, like, this podcast is going to go out near a weaning time, so anybody who's missed the opportunity, whatever opportunity you can get to get a body condition score pre-weaning or at weaning, that data is, you know, gold dust. It really is. But you know, he's missed this 8 week point, so he'll be bringing the I'm sure you'll be bringing the lambs back in at some point, Neil. We'll just grab it then.
Okay.
And I think that's the thing with this data collection, isn't it? It's not massively regimented. It's to work around the farm, and it's to work around you and what you've got on.
I'm going to say, if you try and make it regimented, that you draw a plan and you're OCD about following it, it won't happen. Yeah. It won't happen. And I've seen it so many times. You know, I've been around this EID gear for probably nearly pushing 20 years. If it doesn't work, like Neil was saying, he couldn't footpath in front of his combi clamp, you know, so he gave up, you know, he gave up weighing the animals to footpath the sheep. They have to take priority. Completely right in what he did. No, maybe we need to think about how he sets up his handling system to keep that flow going. That flow is very critical to making the job not hold up. So a little bit of thinking before you start the job, maybe putting the footpath after the weigher. You know, or even footbathing the animals after you've weighed them. You know, there's multiple ways of doing it. We just got to think it through.
So just coming back to the practical perspective as well then, Neil, how have you found it doing all this data collection at the same time as you're vaccinating or you're drenching? Has it caused you loads of extra work, or is it fit in? Be honest.
The weigh-in doesn't seem an extra hassle at all. It's you know, right. It's just scan the ear tag because the lamb's already tagged, which is a big bonus. And it just pings it straight through to the indicator and it's just job done while I'm drenching the lamb. So I find the weighing side of it is quite easy and enjoyable, actually.
Oh, you used the word enjoyable there.
Well, you can just see instantly what's going on in front of you, really. Yeah.
Yeah. So you've weighed a couple of batches of lambs already. We said they were 24 and 27 kilos at about 8 weeks, which is great. What are you thinking? I know you've only weighed a couple of batches, but what are you kind of thinking of doing with that information now that you've got it? How's it going to influence what you do next?
So in theory, it's supposed to influence when to wean.
Yeah.
So we've got some poor performing lambs in that group. Mm-hmm. So those probably will be pulled away from them and prioritise on either creeping in the shed or a bit better grazing somewhere else and pulled out and feed on their own away from the main group, because we can see those that just, they're literally just standing still or putting very little weight on each time we bring them in, so we can identify those. And it just sort of helps you really with, you know, it just gives you a good indication of the growth of the lambs and determine when to wean and to help the ewes as well.
So your next big point, I guess, is weaning, and it'll eventually be the weaning weight. What are you aiming for then?
So lambs on creep, I think we'll try and aim for 34 kilos. Lambs on grass is about 32. We do ewe lambs, so a little bit less for those.
What's kind of the gold standard with that, Matt? What would you be expecting people to be doing at weaning, if there is such thing as an average farm?
Yeah, average farm and average bit of information. You know, when we started this key performance indicator project and that lot, it was stick your finger in the air and guess where it was. It wasn't on, say, the calculations wasn't on the back of a fag packet, but it wasn't far off it. Where do we think these farms should be? And the three farms from Northumberland to West Sussex, where I was, you know, it was suck it and see a little bit. But yeah, we did really find out that these lambs can easily achieve 30 kilos. A lowland, I won't say a lowland because they were in Northumberland, but a commercial sheep can easily hit 30 kilos at weaning. You know, but the big one of the big things for monitoring is how many lambs don't meet it. And that is a nice KPI target to start adjusting and starting to show improvement, especially if you're a shepherd working for somebody, you know, showing that you're getting less and less of those lambs at 8 weeks or 6 weeks that are missing the target, and also less of them at weaning, because that shows massive performance. But one thing we can start planning with Neil is we know now that he's got lambs, you know, average lambs at 24 kilos and 27 kilos. So we can start looking at marketing some of these lambs. So I know they're too light now, but we know they're doing 400, 350, 400. Some of these lambs are probably pushing 500 grams a day. So we can start thinking about when are we going to start drawing some off them. And we can start planning that and looking at prices, you know. We might want to take him a kilo or two lighter. You know, his dad might not like the idea of taking some 37 kilo lambs to market instead of 40, but it could be the most profitable sheep on the farm on that day.
You got any kind of thoughts on that, Neil?
Well, believe it or not, we had this conversation today. we were looking at the singles. We haven't done the 8 week weights on the singles. We're actually shearing tomorrow, so we're going to do that. But just looking at some big lambs in the group, and we were just trying to roughly work out to what sort of weight they might be. And then Dad sort of said, you know, 36, 37 kilo, perhaps they might be better gone.
Hey, we'll see if they end up in market then.
So, yeah, we'll see.
Well, okay. we know what the market price is. You know what the weight of your animals are now, and you're weighing regular to keep an eye on that. We can put a forecast in. They do it a lot with cattle these days. I've worked with a couple of people that are always forecasting a month ahead of what cattle they're going to be selling. You know, there's no reason on a well-managed sheep unit we can't be following some of the principles.
I look forward to that, and I look forward to seeing them come through, because I know another one of your kind of priorities, Neil, as a strategic farm, is to get your lambs away sooner. So what is it we're aiming for? Is it before Christmas?
So, yeah, we wanted to achieve it this last year before Christmas, and we did. Talking to my grassland consultant, Mark Jones, then I think we'd like to bring that forward and sort of by the end of November, if we could.
Brilliant. No, that would be really good if we can do that, because it gives you a chance to rest that ground as well. So, Matt, we've talked about it a little bit already. So this podcast, I know we're recording at end of May, but we'll go out mid-June when a lot of people are thinking about or doing weaning. If people haven't got their 8 week weights and they're just listening to this and thinking, I'm weaning in the next couple of weeks, what should I be doing? What would your advice be?
Well, potentially not weighing, or you don't have to weigh or body condition score on the day of weaning. Weaning's a stressful enough job on its own. So, you know, maybe make it the second job, you know, wean the lambs off, make sure the lambs go back into the field they come from, so they know where water is, they know where the boundaries is, so they settle down easier and take the ewes away. It might sound absolutely stupid, you know, because traditionally we graze the field down hard and put the ewes back, but them lambs, if we can put them back, think about what grass we need, where we're going to wean, and start planning that weaning as soon as we can. Then, you know, wean the lambs, let them settle down, then maybe in a week, 10 days time, bring them back in and weigh them and batch them up into batches, so we can manage them all as the same weights, so we got an idea of how many are going to finish when. Also, that gives us more accurate on our worming, because we know they're all in a 30 kilo range or 25 to 40 kilo range, whatever it is. It doesn't matter on your size, just try and range them up. And we also know that there's a percentage of the lambs are small, and we might want to be looking at selling them as stalls, because we might not be able to finish them. Like Neil was just saying, he, one of his targets is to sell all his lambs by Christmas. He's potentially going to be bringing that back to the end of December. But if we know there's a bunch of lambs there now, like we've got an idea with Neil, there's a few lambs there that are not off the boil, there's something wrong with them. We don't know what it is, but there could be something just off with them. They've lost mum, they're stunted. We'll be talking to Neil about maybe selling them as stalls. You know, it isn't a bad thing to sell them as stalls. It's not that you've not won. You're just making a business decision what to do with those animals. Then the other thing is, once your ewes have dried up, go through bag, mouth, do and body condition score them at the same time, but try and body condition score as close to weaning as we can. You can't really bag a mouth that close to weaning. We need that udder to dry up, but a month later, we've already lost a month's worth of production on getting them ewes back into body condition score. But if there's any ewes we've already identified that've had mastitis or udder problems, we want to be culling those out as quick as possible to give other ewes nutrition, so getting those onto the grazing as soon as possible and just lowering the stocking rate, giving us more of a chance to feed ewes and lambs. So just recording those body condition scores so we know how much feed, and we've got a really good calculation now where we can work out that, I won't say to the kilo, but definitely to a ton of dry matter needed at 12 weeks old when we're weaning, we can forecast how many tons of dry matter we need to get them used back into body condition score, and we can plan it out. You know, we know what grass grows.
And would you be splitting ewes up on body condition score at this point?
Yep, I think every farmer would naturally do that. Right. But yeah, you know, fat ewes go on to the rough grazing, you know, thin ewes need feeding up. That's something that every farmer would naturally do, probably a month or so after the weaning. But, you know, sooner you can do it, sooner you can make them decisions, better things go. And we're seeing that in Neil's thing with his 8-week weights blowing out the water. It's just planning ahead is really helping him.
No, that's great. Thank you, Matt. So I'm just going to look at kind of wrapping this up now. So it's been quite a long podcast. So just as a bit of a recap for people that are listening, I'll ask you both, if you were going to take kind of one thing away or one really useful thing that you'd like to just reiterate to the people that are listening, that it'd be good for them if they just took one thing away and you could choose what it would be, what would it be? I'll come to you first, Matt.
Thank you for that one.
You looked away from me, so I'm picking on you.
The problem is it's tuning it down to one thing. That's the issue. But one of the big things is for me is identifying how much feed you need to get your sheep back into condition or finish lambs. Once you know which one's your priority, you know, we could be upsetting 2 years crops. You know, if the ewes don't get back into good enough body condition score and we've not got enough lambs at scanning, that also can revert through to a low 8-week weight the next year. So it's making them right decisions at that point to not upset that year, but also not upset the lambs that we've got. So it's just, yeah, it's more than one. It's body condition scoring those ewes and knowing how much grass you've got to achieve your targets.
So is it thinking ahead then, do you think, Matt, and just looking at longer than just this year's crop of lambs?
Yes, very much so. It's something I learnt in 6 years of doing projects with AHDB and Leslie Stubbings and Neris is, you know, it's not the short-term gains look easy. It's that long-term outlook we've got to be looking at. You know, as you're coming into lambing, you've got to get in your head that lambing's done. We're looking at 8 weeks. As we're coming up to 8 weeks now, we're looking at weaning. And as we get closer to weaning, we're looking at tupping. It's always looking ahead. We haven't done that job yet, but we're looking at the next stage.
Right. So, Neil, what about you?
Well, I think it's just going to be as simple as weigh your animals. You can just get so much out from weighing your animals and see what's going on and trying to be ahead of the game with everything. And along with that is have a good handling system to make that weighing life easier.
Brilliant. Thank you both for that. Matt, you've not mentioned it at all, but you're doing enough field on this topic. Did you just want to tell us a bit more about that? It's really tough to have mentioned that.
Yeah, my Nuffield. Yes, my Nuffield. I've been looking enough in 2021 to be awarded a Nuffield scholarship and looking into the cost benefit of using EID. And the cost benefit was we're getting a lot of equipment bought under grants. And as we've discussed as part of this podcast, people are buying the equipment with grant money and not having understanding of how they're going to use it. And Neil, you're kind of a little bit in that ballpark. I don't think you bought all yours under a grant, but you bought the equipment without too much of an idea of how you're going to bring it all together. And I've been lucky enough in my career to meet people from New Zealand, Australia and other countries. And we're all in the same boat. We're all got this equipment, most of it actually coming out of New Zealand, Gallagher, True Test equipment. and they're actually no further forwards than we are in collecting data. We actually probably beat those because we're compulsory EID'd in the sheep. So my Nuffield is looking at how we can use it, what is the benefit, and planning it all forwards. And a very interesting conversation with the rest of the world.
And when are we going to expect to hear some results?
Oh, November, hopefully.
November this year?
Yes, deadline's November this year. Oh, not this year, sorry, next year. November next year.
I was going to say that's coming around quickly.
No, it's supposed to be November this year, but COVID, it's next year. It is because of COVID. So, yes, it's a year in November.
And have you got anywhere still to travel to?
I've got everywhere still to travel to at the moment.
Where's on your list?
Ireland, because farmers get paid for information over there quite often. So that's quite an interesting concept. Canada, because a lot of the Canadians land this 3 times in 2 years. And the abattoirs over there are doing some very interesting things on paying farmers for data. So actually rewarding them. So if you hit the spec more and more often, they come to you more and you get paid more. And there's also bits and pieces where if they need lambs and you're getting good raving reviews from the housewife, you get picked over somebody else. So that's going to be an interesting concept to look at. Then Australia and New Zealand, basically big farms, how are they handling the animals to actually catch this data? And there's a lot of commercial farms over there capturing a lot of data, but exactly the same as us. I met a Nuffield scholar that's got 20,000 ewes. And they've got all the EID equipment over there. But the first question was, how many zooms can we have to get us actually using this equipment to actually capture something? Because we're capturing it all, but we're doing absolutely nothing with it.
Brilliant. So, no, we'll look forward to that report then next November.
Yes. 2023.
You still just changed the year off there.
Hello. It's scary how rapidly it's coming through.
No, but thank you. No, Matt, Neil, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me this evening. Neil, we'll be looking forward to following your time using EID and how you get on with it. And we'll hopefully at some point get to take people on farm to your spot as well and have a look at what you're doing and see it all running in action. But in the meantime, I hope our listeners have both enjoyed this conversation and taken away some useful EID or weaning tips as well. Just to mention, this podcast is part of the AHDB Beef and Lamb Strategic Farm Programme, and further information is available should you want it. I'd really recommend having a look at the AHDB Growing and Finishing Lambs for Better Returns manual. That's available online and in hard copy on request, and that's got loads of information in it about what we've spoken about. Or if you prefer to watch things rather than read them, we actually had Matt, who's on the podcast today, on a webinar in June 2020 talking about weaning and looking at weaning this year for profit next year. And that's also available on the AHDB Beef and Lamb YouTube channel. All that's left to say is a final thanks to Neil and Matt for their time and to you for listening.
Are you enjoying our podcasts? Do you have ideas for future episodes, or would you like to tell your story on the podcast? You can email foodandfarming@ahdb.org.uk to give your feedback, or visit the ahdb.org.uk/podcast area of the website to find out more and fill in our feedback questionnaire. AHDB wants to hear from you.